Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have got the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, your Weekend Warriors, Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. I'm Corey Valdez.
And I'm Tony Cookston.
Thanks for tuning into us today. We've got another great episode lined up for you. It's spring. Spring is around the corner.
Yeah, it's almost spring. It definitely is starting to feel more like spring, but it's not quite here yet. We're very close.
Very close. I mean, it's next week.
Yeah, it's next week. It's 1 week away.
I'll take it. So there's some things around your house.
Well, there's a lot of things that we are, it's time to start thinking about. I know that I walk outside in the morning and the sun is shining and it's still brisk and cool outside, but the sun reminds me that I want to be outside, and the home is emerging from its winter
slumber.
Yeah, from its winter nap, and there's a lot of things at and around, inside and outside of the home, that need to be addressed. You need to change your home over from its winter mode to its spring mode, and that all starts taking place right about now.
Yeah, 100%.
So we thought we would take some time today and talk about a list of the things that you might be looking out for that are coming around the bend.
Yeah, so we kind of broke it up into inside and then outside. And there's lots of things inside, like for instance, you might as well, it's a good time of year to check your HVAC system, vacuum all the dust out. The house has been closed up all winter long. You've been running that furnace like crazy. And whenever you're running a furnace nonstop through the whole winter, it's sucking in dust particles from all over your house, and the cold air returns that sit around your home. Either they're on the wall or on the ceiling. They're usually sucking in, and you'll see it. And if you grab a vacuum with a stick on it, say mine's on my ceiling, right? So I put a stick on the end of it, and I, you know, like the vacuum stick, with a little brush. And man, you clean that thing up and you can 100% tell because of the amount of dust and that gets sucked in.
You're just talking about the louvers on the outside of the cold air return.
Yes, exactly.
Vent, right? I mean, just think about what's inside there. You gave a very G-rated sort of description by saying dust particles. I would say that dust particles maybe only make up 1/3 of what it collects from inside your house during
winter.
Well,
they say like most dust is skin particles, right?
Gross.
I mean, like percentage of dust that's just the skin.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible thing. So this is a question for you. Is there a step beyond, you know, wiping off the louvers on the exterior of your cold air return vent and doing more of a in-depth
thorough job
cleaning job? Look, I don't have a central furnace system or a central heating system like you do, so it's not something that I have to worry about. I do have to go in and clean the lint and the stuff that's gathered inside of my space heaters, right? Or it could catch on fire. But in your situation, you have ducting that the air goes through.
Right,
and
have an air handler.
Yeah, all that stuff collects. And of course, you have a filter in there, which is supposed to catch the largest portion of all of that stuff. But certainly some of that stuff gathers in the ducts, and there's no place for it to go, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't personally know. I don't know, honestly. There are companies out there that specialize in cleaning ducts. And ducts, crack. Ducting.
Well, let me just really quickly before we finish with that thought. I don't have personal experience other than that bit of time that I spent in your crawl space.
Oh yeah.
And we were removing the old galvanized ducting. I can tell you from personal experience, the insides of those sections of ducting
had never been cleaned.
They were not sterile or clean. And there was things inside there, man, oh man. So I'm just saying, if everyone's ducting is the potential to look like the inside of that ducting looked, I would want that to be properly cleaned at least once every, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I don't know the answer to that, because
there's a way to have your ducting sucked out.
Yeah, they go in with these machines and that blow air and scrubbers and things, and they put it in like a chimney sweep. You know, they roll it through there and
like a whole big thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've seen advertisements for it, and I'm sure it's a good thing to do. Probably not yearly. I think if you talk to those people, they would say that you should probably do it yearly. But
sure.
I mean, in my opinion, it's probably less than yearly.
How old is your furnace?
How old is it?
Yeah. I mean, your ducting is not as old as your furnace, but your ducting alone is 5.
Yes. I think 7 years.
7?
If I had to put a number on it, I think it would be about 7 years old. And at that same time, I had all new ductwork put in too. So,
I mean, that seems relatively new to me compared to what a lot of people might be facing with their furnace and their ducting. So anyways, it's something to look at least something to consider.
Well, also, if you've run yourself through any sorts of remodels lately, you know, I know for a fact that when we remodeled our kitchen several years ago, the amount of dust
kicked up.
That went down into the ductwork alone. And we tried to do our best. You know, I ran my shop back down there and tried to clean out all that dust that, you know, inexplicably gets in there. You know, you try your best, you cover it up, and you try not to let that stuff in there. But, you know, it just does. Sheetrock dust gets everywhere.
Oh, you're introducing a whole plethora of new debris that has no place else to go. So anyway, that's something to think about. At the very least, clean the vents on the registers and the cold air return. Definitely take the opportunity to replace your furnace filter, which of course you should be doing on a regular basis, but as long as you're planning a spring home maintenance event,
right?
That's one of the things you'll want to include.
Spring cleaning.
Yeah.
You know, the spring cleaning is a big part of spring home maintenance, but you know, there's so much to do. We've got a really extensive checklist. We're going to do that on a different show. Talk about spring cleaning.
But there's a little bit of crossover and you can't help that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. For instance, vacuuming your exhaust vents in your bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good time to do it because, again, your house has been sealed up. It's closed. You haven't had the windows open. No fresh air. A lot of dust particles collecting. And if you walk in and you haven't done it in a long time and you look up at your bath fan,
it's gray.
It's covered in fuzz.
Yeah, yeah. If that has turned color and it's no longer white, that's probably because it's got so much stuff on it.
Yep. Throw the vacuum attachment on there and
That stuff collects there and it reduces the flow of air, which causes the fan to have to work harder. And the moisture that's supposed to be coming out of the bathroom when you use that fan is not. It's not getting out properly. So, yeah, that's very important. Very
absolutely
important.
You know, Tony, this is also a very good time to paint. Last weekend, we just painted my daughter's bedroom, and it made it such a huge difference that we want to do more. We want to paint our bedroom. We want to paint the hallway and the ceilings. I actually just recently replaced some lighting in my hallway. I kind of had one of those old, you know, lights with the globe.
Oh, sure.
You know, like one or two bulbs in it, you know, and it lit up the entire hallway and entryway. And I took that out and I replaced it with these really high powered LEDs. Really, really nice. But the amount of light it puts out, man, it really showed me.
Oh, yeah.
The filth in the ceilings that probably haven't been painted since the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Textured walls gather dust like you wouldn't believe.
So it's that was a good time, you know, painting inside, maybe fixing up the walls. You know, when you're all winter long coming in with your rain boots and your big clunky coats and putting holes everywhere.
Go ahead. Get a little roll of blue tape and walk the entire house and use these little pieces of tape to mark areas that you see. Now, if you're walking and looking and you're finding these things, that will help you get them all. If you're going to get out the spackle, you're going to get out the paintbrush, you're going to get out the paint, you might as well make your way through the whole house and fix as many little dents and holes and things in the sheetrock as you can.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
And so, you know, you find those little cracks in the sheetrock where you feel like the house is coming apart, but it's really just you know, cracked sheetrock mud. Just go in there, fill it up a little bit, paint it over.
Have you ever used spray texture?
Absolutely.
Where you get the little can and you like patch.
Yep.
So there are several spots in my daughter's bedroom that somebody had clearly done some huge damage or I don't know, you know, through the years, the house is 50 years old.
Sure.
At some point, somebody did something. And there's a few spots, man, where the spackle person that, you know, that came in and put the spackle in really laid it in thick and basically deleted all of that
texture. Yeah.
I think I might grab a can of that spray texture.
Well, here's a little tip for you.
And try and hide some of that.
You get a can of orange peel texture and set, it's got three settings usually, like light, medium, and heavy. So set that thing to light first. Grab a piece of cardboard, hold it 12 to 16 inches away, and spray a little bit on the cardboard.
Ooh, do some testing
on
the cardboard.
Get a feel for how globby it's coming out. Then set it to heavy and do the same thing. That will tell your mind what this is going to look like when it comes off onto your wall.
That's a good tip.
You won't end up, because if you do it on the wall and it's too heavy, then you're just going to have to wipe it off of the wall, right?
You're like, oh, crap.
If you let it dry, then you're going to have this big globby thing. So it's better to put it on the lightest setting and then make a couple of passes. Ultimately, you'll have less product that comes out and the speckles will be smaller. And so hold it far enough away, put it on light, make a pass. If you need some more speckles, make another pass. You might put it on medium to get some little larger globs or speckles, but test it on cardboard first to give you your best result. I guarantee it.
Speckly.
It's very speckly.
Very nice. Tony, what are some other things inside the house somebody should be thinking about doing this time of year?
Well, this is something we always say this, maybe not necessarily this time of year, but this is a great time. Add this to your list. Check the batteries in your smoke detectors and your carbon monoxide detectors, because it's something that we always forget, and we want them to be working when we need them. That's the most important thing. And changing them one at a time as they fail is never any fun, right? That can drive a person, you know, mad.
Yeah, hearing those constant beeps.
Yes, go out and buy a 20-pack or a 40-pack of AA or AAA batteries and replace the batteries in all, or maybe they're 9-volt.
Mine are 9-volt.
Replace the batteries in your smoke detectors and your carbon monoxide detector. That's a great idea.
What about GFCIs? Is it ideal? Should you test those often? When was the last time you tripped a GFCI plug in your house?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It hasn't been that long ago. The fact is, I've added so many things here and there and gadgets and stuff inside my house that I'm pretty regularly always pushing my electrical panel to its limit. I trip breakers and GFCIs all the time. But I've never had, in my experience, I haven't had a GFCI fail, a ground fault interrupter. I haven't had one fail, but testing it sounds like a really good plan. I haven't spent a lot of time testing them, but
I have had a GFCI fail.
Yeah?
100%. They just go bad, you know? Sometimes they won't trip. Sometimes they won't come back on or after they do trip. So you want to make sure they're working properly, that's for sure.
Well, it seems like it could happen pretty easily in a house that's 40 or 50 or 60 years old.
And if you're thinking about electricity, it's probably a good time to check any extension cords that you regularly use for wear and tear.
Yeah, I've told the story on the show before. I had my electric fireplace that's in my family room plugged into a power strip. Should not have had that, but I did. And at some point, it failed, and there was a little bit of a melting scenario there, a little bit of blackness around there. And I learned very quickly that something that draws that kind of amperage should be plugged directly into an outlet.
No kidding.
But you know what? I hadn't
call you Clark Griswold.
Hadn't have known about it if I hadn't been walking around inspecting all of my plugs. So it's definitely a good tip. You could save yourself something very expensive.
Here's a good one. If you have vinyl windows, you can use silicone spray in the bottom of the window in the track to help it glide back and forth easily.
Yeah, the window rides on little like little tiny wheels, sort of like a ball bearing, but it's a little wheel.
Yeah, they made out of Delrin.
So yeah, sometimes they're brass. It depends on the manufacturer of the window. But it rolls back and forth on those, and those can get grimy and gummed up and then not want to slide very good, which causes your window sometimes to, you know, to drag, and it can be difficult to get it to slide. So a little bit of silicone spray can make a big difference.
Yeah. And if you're living in an older house with older wooden windows, you're probably maybe think about getting those moving too. You know, you don't want to wait till that super hot day and realize that all your windows are painted shut.
Yep, absolutely. As long as you're messing around with the windows, this is a good time to check your screens and for damage or just dirty. A lot of screens get dirty. Man, they get dirty, especially during the wintertime. And it makes a big difference. Take the screens all off. Take them out of the backyard. Inspect them. Make sure the frames aren't damaged or the screen doesn't have any holes in it. Spray them all off and put them back on. You'll be so happy. But keep track of where they go. It can be difficult sometimes.
Yeah, even two windows that are the same size or you think are the same size.
Yeah.
The screens might be slightly different. So, yeah, that's a good tip. Maybe
generally a screen will have a couple of springs on one side. Pay attention to which side the springs are on when it's in the...
What about the frame? If the frame is damaged... Is it easy? Can you just make one, build your own? Do you buy that stuff or do you get one made? How does that work?
Yeah, I would go and have a frame made. I think it's maybe $20 for a standard size frame. Don't quote me on that. I'm saying it's inexpensive like that. You won't pay
arm and a leg.
You won't pay $40 or $50 or $60 for a new screen. So it's inexpensive enough to have the screen replaced. You can go to Par Lumber Company and take the net opening of your screen, what side the springs are on, what color or what style your mesh in your screen is, and they can reorder you a new screen that matches that screen.
But if you have torn screens and you want to do it yourself, you can buy rolled screen from many different places.
Yep, mesh. Screen mesh.
And there are lots and lots of different options there. We recently redid our patio, backdoor patio, in pet-friendly window screen. It's extra thick.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like if a cat got on it, it wouldn't tear and rip.
Is it fiberglass or aluminum?
It is fiberglass.
Okay.
But you're right. You can get aluminum screens. You can even get copper screens, I've seen.
Aluminum screen has a tendency to dent. And then that doesn't want to come out because it holds its shape once it's been, you know, poked with
dented,
something.
Yeah.
So if your screens get a lot of use in that way, if you children and pets and those things, aluminum might not be the way to go.
Yeah. But it is easy.
As a matter of fact, to replace the screen. You can actually check out a video that Corey and I made about re-screening a screen frame. You can see that on our website at www.homeshow.com.
Right. Or a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You search Par Lumber on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel there.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Speaking of furnacing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The furnace. Going back to that.
Yeah.
Now's a good time to reprogram your thermostat. Do you have a smart thermostat or do you have a programmable
one? As you know, I have space heating in my house. So I don't have a furnace.
Have basic thermostats?
I do have basic every wall heater that I have in my house has its own thermostat. So I have a thermostat, but it's not digital.
There's no smart, you can't set it to turn on or turn off.
Nope. I just turn the dial from off to on. And the farther I turn it, the warmer it gets.
Wow.
That's
basic.
But we're heading into a time when I'm not going to need those at all for months and months.
Right.
And
So my house, I have a thermostat, and I actually have a smart thermostat, but it's not as smart as you would think. I still have to program it to say, okay, it's summer now, stop heating, and when you get to the certain temperature, start cooling and those sorts of things. But you need to do it.
Well, as long as you're talking about cooling, this is an opportunity for you to take a really hard look at your condenser.
Condenser.
If you have air conditioning, take a look at your AC condenser. It, of course, is outside, and it's got a grate up on top, and it allows things to get down in there, and it can get pretty yucky. You want to make sure that it's not obstructed inside there.
Yeah, some people even cover them. They make AC condenser covers that you put over the thing during the wintertime.
That'd be a good thing to have. Do you have a condenser cover for
I don't, because mine, there's nothing really above mine that can fall. It's like, it's not under trees or anything like that. It's pretty open. But if I did, if it was under a tree or something, I would definitely consider that.
Yeah. Speaking of covers, this is another thing. We haven't really talked much about anything up on top of the roof, but we do have some projects for you that are up on the roof. And the first one that I would say is the chimney. We need to give the chimney a little bit of attention. If you have a fireplace that you use and you're not going to be using it as often going forward, it's a good time to inspect the exterior of your chimney. Make sure that you don't, that you're not missing any of the mortar or, you know, anything that needs to be repaired there. Of course, if you have chunks of mortar missing, you want to replace that, or maybe you want to do a little bit of
tuck pointing,
a little tuck pointing. Yeah. Or if it's just a crack, maybe you can fill that with some caulk or something that would keep water from getting inside there. Of course, water gets inside there and then it freezes and it expands and it makes it bigger and that whole thing. But here's another thing. I oftentimes see chimneys when I was a kid, the brick chimney that we had on top of our house, it didn't have anything covering the top of it. It was open.
Up like on a top. Chimney cap?
Yeah, it didn't have a chimney cap. And I see, it was funny, we started this conversation here off air, and we looked outside, and sure enough, here are all these chimneys with chimney caps on them. My chimney didn't have a cap. That would be a really nice addition if you have a chimney and you use your fireplace and you don't have a cap on there. Maybe think of purchasing a cap.
You think about critters, you know, if you're not using your chimney through the summer.
Critters fireplace. Like Santa Claus or?
No, like squirrels.
Smaller critters.
And birds. You know, you've heard of birds nesting inside chimneys.
Sure.
Putting a chimney cap on that would probably negate that. And maybe even closing the flue for the winter or for the summer.
If you do have a chimney cap, check your chimney cap. Make sure it's not missing any parts or pieces and there's no opportunity for rodents to get inside there.
Rodents. Speaking of rodents, now is the time, man. Rodents are going crazy this time of year.
Oh, yeah. Time to call the...
the killers.
Pest control? Yeah. Or is it exterminator?
Pest control. I call the killers.
Yeah.
And they come twice a year, and they set traps, and they do bait boxes and spray, and they take care of my house for me.
We need to get Matt White with the Killers.
That's a good idea.
Back on the radio soon.
I'm gonna give him a call.
That's a good idea. That's a great show. He's got lots of great tips and information about exterminating and that sort of stuff. And I always a good show. I always learn something. It doesn't matter how much we talk to him. So I'm looking forward to that. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, more tips on things to do around the home to prepare for spring. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. Thanks for staying with us. Hey, if you haven't already, go check out our Facebook and Instagram page and our YouTube channel. We are at WW Home Show. You can always go to our website at www.homeshow.com. And click on all those links, or you can go to par.com and click on our link there. If you ever want to send us an email and you got a question or a comment or anything, you can email us at weekendwarriors@par.com. Makes it super easy for you. We answer everything.
Absolutely.
To our best of our ability. But anyway, today we're talking about spring home maintenance.
I have to apologize.
Spring is next weekend.
Our list had us inside the house. And I jumped outside. I don't know. I was like, I went to the window. I started talking about screens.
And you
next
climbed
thing, you
through
know,
the window.
I was outside the house. We need to get back in the house, finish our list inside.
Yeah. I mean, there's not very many things left inside the house that you shouldn't be already doing. But there's a few things that maybe some good reminders.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking when we get back outside. We're going to talk about caulk and trim and things around the outside of the home. But there's caulk inside the home that needs to be addressed. You need to take a look at, in the shower, any caulking or grout that you have inside the shower that is starting to look dark or crumbling away, cracking or peeling, and you need to look at replacing that. It's important to note that if you're replacing caulking that's split or cracked, that's allowing water to get in behind the caulk bead, that you have to remove all of that before you can put new on. You can't put new on right on top of the old stuff. It will not work properly.
Well, one thing to think about, too, is like with everything, painting, caulking, anything. If you're putting new paint on something, it's only your new paint is only as good as what you're painting it onto. So if you're painting it onto crumbly surface,
flaky paint,
or flaky paint, the paint that's under that you're sticking to, if that's flaking off, it's just going to come off even with your new paint on it.
Right. You have to get that bond.
Yeah, you have to the original, the best of your ability to the original surface. And with caulking, if you're using the correct caulking, like you want a silicone-based, usually inside the bathrooms and kitchens, new silicone won't stick to old silicone. So you really got to get it out of there. You got to scrape it out as best as you possibly can before you lay that new bead in.
And look for something that has a mold and mildew inhibitor. That's always works best in the bathroom with all the moisture that's around.
Yeah, it's usually called kitchen and bath.
Yep, kitchen and bath, absolutely. So here's another one. We were inside. Again, we're not trying to have a spring cleaning show, but this is an opportunity to address your window curtains, drapes, blinds around the windows. Those things get filthy. I mean, absolutely filthy. Take them down, wash them, whether you're just beating them with a tennis racket or running them through the laundry, however it is you do that. They need an opportunity there to be.
Yeah.
More
sometimes
refreshed.
Blinds, like we have not mini blinds, but we have those wood slat, not wood, but they're composite slat blinds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those are really hard to clean. I don't know if you know this.
Just like a little, you just need like a little duster or something like
that. Yeah, I mean, we do that, but if you really want to deep clean them, I actually saw a video online where you fill up the tub with cleaner and water and you dunk your blinds in there and let them soak for a bit. Pull them out, hose them down, and then let them dry.
Really?
It, like the water turned black.
Just gross.
Super gross.
Yeah, well, that does seem like that would be effective. Takes a little bit of time, I guess, if you were doing all the windows in the house.
Yeah, you could probably do, I mean, two or three at a time, I would imagine. So,
yeah.
All right, anyway, let's jump outside of the house. There's a lot of things on the exterior of your house that you really need to do.
Let's start at the top, because we were already up on the roof. We were talking about the chimney and some things there. We didn't really suggest it, but it's a good time to get your chimney swept. If you have a chimney and you use your fireplace, it's a good time to get the chimney swept. You could wait until fall, right before you start using your chimney, but I feel like that's when everybody is wanting to get their chimney swept.
Yeah.
To avoid a chimney fire, which I have seen, by the way, not a good situation. That soot that's inside there doesn't all get out, and it builds up. It builds up inside the flue or in the chimney, and then that can catch fire, and then you end up with a fire in the chimney of your fireplace, and that's not good. It's bad. So you get in order to avoid that, you get it swept. You call Mary Poppins. She calls Dick Van Dyke. He comes out, sweeps the chimney, and it's a whole song and dance. So don't miss that opportunity.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, people would say, well, I'll do it in the fall. Well, everybody and their mother's doing it in the fall.
Right, then you're going to wait and pay higher prices probably.
It's just like when we say to get your AC unit maintained. Do you want to wait till that first 80 or 90 degree day to realize that your AC is broke
right.
or not working right?
Yeah, no.
No, you want to do it now
right.
and have them come out and maintain it or repair it or whatever needs to be done. This time of year, you're going to pay much lower premium than calling them on that hot day because they're not going to be available.
Yes, that's absolutely true. While you're on the roof, take a moment to inspect your roofing, whether it's wood shingles or composition shingles or tile, whatever your roof is, inspect the roof. Look for missing portions, or if you have composition roof, look for lifted shingles. Moss will grow on the roof. And moss, if not treated right away, it gets bigger and bigger, and it grows underneath your shingles and causes your shingles to lift up, and it invites moisture up inside there. And the next thing you know, you got moisture that's in the framing and can be inside the house.
Yeah.
And so you want to be vigilant with your roof shingles and make sure that you're getting all that organic moss, material out of there.
Moss is the worst. I mean, I've driven by houses in my neighborhood that literally the entire roof is green with moss. Yeah. And I'm just thinking to myself, how is that not leaking? Yeah. I mean, maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
And they just don't know it.
Yeah, I mean, I've treated my roof for moss in a year where I waited too long, and it was really bad, and clogged up my downspouts. My downspouts clogged up my rain drain, and I had to have somebody come out and jet my rain drain.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. You don't want to have to do any of it.
Yep.
Keep the moss off while it's still just enough. And before you treat the moss and sweep it all off your roof, make sure that you plug your downspouts, because that moss is going to end up in your gutter. There's nothing you can do about that. And then you want to scoop that out of your gutter before it goes into your downspouts. You should have a bulb or a screen or something in your downspout, or a leaf guard or gutter guard that blocks solids from getting into your gutter.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, at the very least, get a downspout screen bulb to protect the organics from getting down into your downspout, because it will clog your rain drain.
Yeah, clogging your, if your rain drains, like we talk about cleaning your gutters all the time, but not necessarily your rain drains. And the rain drains is what take the water away from your gutters out, usually to the street, right? And if now's a good time to make sure that everything's working properly. And one of the things, like Tony, you helped me with when I moved into my house, I wanted to double check that they worked. So I put a hose in the top, in the gutter, in the downspout, and waited for it to hit the street. And you were able to say, yes, absolutely, water is coming out here. Or no, there's nothing coming out. So where's that water going? It's going somewhere.
If you've been in this house and you've just come through winter here in the Pacific Northwest, then you know whether or not your rain drains are working. Because they would
sometimes
have, because they would have been backed up when we were, you know, dealing with inches and inches and inches of rain. But you might be moving into a new place, and before it starts raining, you'll want to know whether it's working or not. So it's definitely something to consider and make sure that it's functioning properly.
I just had this talk with my neighbor across the street who had this exact problem. They had brand new gutters put on. He had his roof cleaned. Everything was just perfect, ready to go. They just bought the house a year ago, and this winter, they were having this overflowing issues. So he thought the gutters had put, you know, or leaves had fallen in. Sure enough, no, anything. There was nothing in the brand new gutters. So he had to have someone come out and jet his rain drains because water was backing all the way up the gutter, and then overflowing out the top.
Yeah. So, well, where my downspout drops into my rain drain, which is very near the foundation of my home, that water was bubbling out of the rain drain because it was coming down the downspout and then not draining. And so that all that excess of water that was coming out of the rain drain right near my foundation began to erode the ground on the outside of my foundation. Well, it did not get really, really bad. But over time, if it's not addressed, that can undermine your foundation. Not a good situation at all.
Yeah.
That could cause a cracked foundation, and then, you know, your home is foundation of your home was compromised, which is not good.
Concrete patios, walkways, driveway, they're probably going to be covered in, you know,
moss,
mildew and moss.
Slimy.
And you get that dark color.
Dirt.
It's a good time to get out the pressure washer and start cleaning it up. I like to use 30 seconds outdoor cleaner. I also like to use, there's another one I use that's a spray and forget, wet and forget, I think. That one works really, really well. I actually use it on my patio. I use it on my roof.
You buy it by the gallon, or?
Yeah, they sell it at Costco, actually.
How much does 1 gallon cover-ish?
A lot.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like 10,000 square feet.
Is it concentrated?
Yeah, it's a concentrate. Okay. You put it on your hose.
Oh, okay, okay.
And you spray it, you know, and it kind of foams up. It works really, really well.
You let it sit for a while and then spray it off with your pressure washer?
Yeah, on my patio, I have a brick patio, paver patio, and between all of the, you know, the bricks, the pavers, when you start losing sand, you know, you use that, what's that sand called? The locking sand?
Paver lock.
Paver lock. Sometimes that washes away and fills back in with dirt.
Right.
And then moss grows immediately in that. So I'll have like a network of moss in my patio. So I spray that down with that moss killer, and then it makes it much easier to clean away. You really have to be careful when you're pressure washing a paver patio, because it'll kill all that paver lock sand out of there.
Yeah, well, it actually, a pressure washer not used the way you want to use it can etch concrete. It can etch your driveway.
Oh, yeah.
It can etch your walkways. It can etch anything. I mean, those pressure washers can really get it done. You want to use a tip that gives you a fan, a nice fan, and you want to make sure that you keep your distance back and that you're not, because, you know, the closer you get, the cleaner it gets. And then you want to get closer and then closer and then closer until you're cleaning one square inch at a time to get like this super white, you know, sidewalk or driveway. Well, you don't have to do that. And you will run the risk of etching your concrete. Here's the thing. After you finish with your concrete, you're going to want to take that. Here's the thing. You're going to want to take that pressure washer onto the deck and you're going to pressure wash the deck. You can't pressure wash the deck like you pressure wash the concrete. If you've got a wood deck, that pressure washer will feather that wood back and it will damage it for good. It mm-hmm. will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be compelled to replace deck boards, and then you'll have a few that are a different color. And then next thing you know, you're redecking your entire deck. So just be really careful with your pressure washer. I recommend putting it on a fan setting and holding it back and just making sure you don't get it too close because it can damage.
I recommend getting a spinning attachment that goes on the end of your pressure washer nozzle, and it plugs in, and it's like a round disc with spin rotating blade inside.
They're water
fan that spins really, really fast, and around the perimeter of that is like a brush.
Yeah, it does have a brush.
And that thing, man, you want to talk about ease. Cleaning a patio or cleaning a driveway using that attachment goes so much faster, so much less dirty. Because as you're cleaning, you know, and it's spraying up, you know, usually you got to wear like rain gear.
Yeah, right.
And doing it that way keeps all the
gunk
down, keeps everything down, and it works super fast. So I highly recommend getting one of those.
That's a very good tip. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the deck, cleaning it off. Cleaning and restaining your deck, this is the time to do that.
Well, I wouldn't say restaining, but cleaning it for sure.
Restaining because it's not warm enough?
Right. It's not
because
warm enough?
Because you need to have a couple of 70-degree days?
Yes. You need, I think, 3 or 4 in a row. If you've got a cedar deck or a hardwood deck that you're putting Penofin on or something like that, a penetrating oil sealer, you don't want to be doing that right now. I think we've got way too many rainy days in our near future.
Okay. All right. It's too soon.
You could clean
not
it.
Not too soon to clean it.
No.
But you can't stain it.
I wouldn't stain it. Not yet.
Okay, that's a good tip.
That's a summer home maintenance.
I've already started staining mine, so uh-oh. I should stop now.
Well, it's a covered. Yours is covered.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Okay, good. This is big. This is a big one here. We talk about the lawn, and you have an affinity for the lawn.
I really love my lawn.
You're the guy that has that beautiful, lush green lawn.
I try to.
And then a little patch of crabgrass sprouts out and you take a week's vacation and you spend some time, you know, some real personal time with your lawn, communicate with it, you eradicate that crabgrass.
Yeah. I mean, it's springtime. You want to use they make spring fertilizers, you know, just like they make a winterizer. If you put your lawn to sleep
with a winterizer,
That will feed it through the winter. It'll allow those roots to grow much deeper. You can do the same thing in the spring. You can wake it up. Moss is a huge problem for a lot of us that live in the valley here in the Portland area. And what I would recommend is getting your soil tested so that you know what you need to add or not add to it. But you can buy different supplements for your lawn just like you would do for your own health. You can take a little scoop of it and you send it away for testing.
A little vitamin A.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
Vitamin D.
So, for instance, if you have a lot of moss, moss growth in a lawn means that the acidity level in your lawn is off. The pH level in your lawn is off. So you can correct that But you can kill the moss, but you need to correct the root of that problem, which is the acidity level in your lawn. Okay. And the only way to know is to get it tested.
Interesting. And you can't test it yourself. You got to have a scientist do it.
You know, they make kits. I don't know how good they are, but honestly.
But you send it off. Have you? Have you sent off soil from lawn to have it tested? You
I had a moss. My moss problem is back. And several years ago, I had the same moss problem, and I got rid of it for several years.
Nice.
So now it's time to do it again.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yes, you, your relationship with your lawn is a priority.
I like my lawn. I like to mow it. I like it to look nice.
Is it time? Is it time to mow? It was sunny today. Is today a mow day? What's your grass look like? Is it growing?
It is growing like crazy. My backyard, I actually did have to mow it for the first time. And the thing with the lawn is you don't want to mow it too soon, you know, because as it's waking up and it's rooting and it's growing, if you go in it too soon, you could be causing harm. So I would wait as long as physically possible. And my backyard, my grass was
6-7 inches
long. Oh, yeah. Way long. So, I mean, I really had to go at it. We had a few warm days.
I feel like I remember you telling me that the sweet spot is like 3 inches or so. 3, maybe 4 inches.
I think 4 inches is more accurate.
If you're cutting your lawn below that certain dimension, 3 or 4 inches, whatever that is, then your lawn is going to spend its time growing back that length above the surface instead of growing roots below the surface, which make it
more healthy.
Healthy and durable. Plus, you're removing a portion of the blade, which holds nutrient, water, or whatever it eats or drinks. And so it has to grow that back in order to, so it requires more water. There was another tip you gave me, which I really liked a lot. You said if you are regularly mowing your lawn regular on a really regular basis, and you're taking off, you know, a half an inch or an inch or whatever at a time, then there's no need to bag it. You can put on a side deal where the grass clippings come out to the side, and those clippings will actually feed your lawn.
Yeah.
Returning the source to the lawn, which can feed it. Here's where that falls apart. That falls apart if you wait 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to mow, and then you just end up dumping giant clumps of dead grass in your lawn,
right,
which just is going to do more damage.
Yeah, you can't do that. If you, like I said, if you're mowing it regularly, I use a side chute. And I just shoot it right back into my lawn, let that go down. Because, I mean, every time you bag it and you take it away, you're just taking away nutrients.
And
so,
very important to keep your lawnmower blade sharp. This is the time of year to take your lawnmower blade and either sharpen it yourself or take it off and have it sharpened. You could take a lawnmower blade to Par Lumber, drop it off, they'll send it out and have it sharpened and bring it back. That's not a super expensive thing to do.
Yeah, it's... I like to just use my angle grinder. Makes it super easy. Clamp it into my clamp, run the angle grinder on it, make it super sharp. You want to do that regularly.
You've been talking about replacing your gas motor, your gas lawnmower motor, with a cordless battery-operated lawnmower.
I want a Makita.
You haven't made the move?
Not yet. I'm waiting for the right time, waiting for the sale.
I heard recently that California is moving towards disallowing the use of small engines.
That is correct.
You've heard this.
Yeah.
This is not news to you. And that
small engines.
And that landscapers and contractors that are using small engines will have to move to cordless type products in order to do their job.
That is correct.
That's very, very interesting. They say that a small motor actually puts off more emissions than an economy car after it's driven, you know, I don't know, a couple thousand miles.
Yeah, a little two-stroke motor on a chainsaw
is
really bad for the environment.
Unbelievable. You know what the solution for that is?
Battery?
Makita.
Yes.
Makita.
I know,
makes,
I told you I want one.
Makes almost all the power tools you want in cordless technology, which is equivalent or better than a lot of corded products out there.
My lawnmower is a four-stroke, so... it doesn't put off the amount of emissions that a two-stroke does, but still, dealing with the gas, you know, changing out the spark plug, getting that thing tuned up every spring.
Yeah.
Especially with the gas that we're using with the ethanol in it. If you forgot to pump the gas out of your lawnmower in the winter or in the fall, and you're just getting it open, I guarantee you that that fuel has gelled up inside of your carburetor, and you will have a heck of a time starting it.
I guarantee it. I feel like this is the time to be trimming back our trees, hedges, and shrubs, but only if you catch them before they go to bud.
This is true. Yeah, you want to do any sort of large-scale trimming to any of your shrubbery or trees or anything while they're dormant, which is not now.
No, it's not now, at least not at my house.
Yeah, me too.
I noticed that my trees have got little green buds all over them, and now I've waited too long to do any of that shaping or trimming that I was going
to
do.
Now's a really good time to unpack the patio furniture.
Oh, yeah.
You put it away in the wintertime. You got everything packed away. Get it all out. Get it cleaned up. Get it ready for use in the summer. If you've got solar panels, I would highly recommend getting those cleaned or cleaning them yourself. I have solar panels on my roof, and after the long winter, I look up there, and there's a nice film of junk all over them. So I'm going to climb up there and give them a clean because I want to get that energy. That I want to get as much solar energy as I can to reduce my electric bill.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
And since you're up there, might as well clean those skylights if you got any.
Oh, yeah.
Or sun tunnels.
Yep, clean skylights. Clean your windows. You know, I recently was cleaning the windows inside my home, and I did all that work and got done and noticed that they were still dirty. That's because it was on the outside.
The filth is on the outside.
Then I realized I was only halfway done, and I had to start all over again.
That's right. Get outside and
clean all those windows. Man, oh, man, it's a job. You know, if you got 20 windows or something on your house, and cleaning all those inside and out is a job. But you know what? You got
to
do it.
You have to do it. And I'll tell you one thing. Since you're looking at your windows pretty close, check the caulking on all your windows. Make sure that it's not splitting away. And just like we said with the interior, if it is, it's not a terribly difficult job. You just have to cut the old caulking out, peel it, put a nice high-quality bead of, say, like Quad Max or Master Seal 150 is a really, really high quality exterior caulking, and fill those back up. And you don't have to do it all at once. You can do one window at a time. If you notice you walk around your house, you see holes everywhere, do one at a time.
And check for paint. This is your time to touch up paint where you need it. If it's flaking, scrape the old stuff off. If you have to hit it with some kind of a sanding block or something to knock that old stuff off, get the paint back on there. Make sure it gets a good bond with the substrate.
I got one last thing about the lawn that I forgot. Wake up your sprinklers.
Oh, yeah.
If you put them to bed right and you drained them and you got your water supply lines all opened up, get those sealed up and ready before you take
them on. Have we seen our last frost? Is that something we can do right now?
I think so.
All right. Well, that's all the time we got, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been another episode of Your Weekend Warriors right here
on the Weekend Warriors Radio Network.
Have a great week.